Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Mully and Haw. Live and local, Chicago sports talk for your morning on 670 The Score.
Guys like Justin and Mike, those kind of guys that can use their feet, they're always going to try to make a play. And most of the time they do. So even when it's not a play and the receiver's covered, that's when you got to get to your spot and you got to be a little deeper because they're going to bail out the pocket high. Versus sometimes they'll push up and hit the B gap. Like Justin did late in the game. I pushed the guy up and he went and got the first down to end the game. But most of the time, those guys gonna try to bail out and get outside the pocket and make a play with their feet. And sometimes the defenders, what make them similar is when they get outside the pocket, it's a run pass situation. If the defenders don't come up, they gonna run it, then they can dump it off. So those kind of guys are scary. So they definitely similar, arm strength and mobility.
Struck him out on a fastball, and the Tigers win game number two of this series. And the Sox won't be able to clinch today, no matter what Cleveland does.
You play hard, then you got to play well. You know, if it was all about playing hard, then I'd have been a star. But you got to be able to execute this league, and our execution is not what it has to be in all phases.
All the bull crap is one word.
What?
We stink right now. Then everybody understand exactly. You sit in your house, listen, say, oh, I know what Ozzy say, I know what Tony say. But you explain all these things to people, like, they start Googling it and call this. You hear Tony say, no, we stink right now. Yes, we stink right now. We're going to stink later. I don't think so.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. You heard the voice of Jason Peters there, and he was comparing Justin Fields to Michael Vick in terms of how you block for them, and he's blocked for both of them now, so that is interesting to get his take. Guy's been around forever. And our thanks to the fine folks at NBC Sports Chicago on the final call of the White Sox loss to the Tigers. And you heard Tony La Russa postgame, and then you heard Ozzie Guillen. He's on White Sox postgame live on NBC Sports Chicago, and he'll be on The Score at 7:42.
Looking forward to that because Ozzie was strong. He went full Zambrano on us. We stink. I think at this point in time, you understand and you can relate to that feeling. Very disappointing outcome from the White Sox. So we'll get into that with Ozzy and what's ahead and kind of address some of this, you know, the 500 team that the White Sox have been since midseason, since the All-Star break. I liked hearing what Jason Peters had to say. I really appreciated his viewpoint from, you know, he has the benefit of all that experience, and he was talking about the difference with Andy Dalton and Justin Fields, and then he made the comparison to Michael Vick. I was waiting for him to compare Justin Fields to somebody from the 80s because it seems like he's been around that long. But it was a really fun comparison to hear from Jason Peters. A lot going on today. I think a lot of anticipation for what the Bears are going to say and how they're going to couch the quarterback situation when we hear from them later today. And also, let's face it, in Chicago today, the White Sox could end the day and go to bed champions of their division. That's still worth celebrating, even though you're going to roll your eyes, shake your head, and I get why, but they're still possibly going to end the day in the postseason.
Yeah, I mean, again, they're going to make the postseason. I think we've known that for a couple of months. They should have done it like 10 days ago, frankly. So it is a little bit – it's just tiresome to wait. And I'm not going to get caught up in them going to play the Indians and all that stuff. I'm not going to. It just doesn't – it does. It's not a legitimate worry they're in. But it's just tiresome to watch them the way they're playing. And I get it. I understand the whole Sunday lineup concept. I understand that it's all about making sure everyone's at their best when the season starts. But you got no business losing to some of these teams they're losing to. You got no business being as mediocre as they've been in the second half of the season. And, it just makes me wonder if they're going to get the bang for the buck. And I don't mean whether the players are going to perform. I'm talking about Tony La Russa was brought in here with a reputation as a guy that handles a bullpen better than anybody in baseball. And I haven't seen it yet. I haven't seen this magic work. And I'm waiting. And I'm willing to wait for the playoffs.
I understand.
And I'm willing to hopefully see it then. But it's not happening right now, David. And it's frustrating to watch a team against teams that are as mediocre as they are and then giving up the lead in the seventh inning, the eighth
Understandable inning. Understandable angst by White Sox fans. I get it. Tony La Russa was brought here to push the right buttons for the bullpen. You know what else and the other reasons he was brought here? Because last year at this time, as Tim Anderson reminded everybody of the other day, and Lucas Giolito did as well, the White Sox took their foot off the gas. They went into the postseason on cruise control.
Right.
And that was a problem. So if you're Tony La Russa, and yesterday we challenged Matt Nagy, today it's Tony's turn. If you're Tony La Russa, you now have to let people know and remind everyone why you're here. You are the sharp-edged master of intensity. Your team is flat. Your team is sloppy. Your team is struggling. Now, to whatever degree managers matter, you've got to make yourself matter. You've got to be sure that your team goes into the postseason, into October. Today's the first day of fall. Happy first day of fall. That you go into autumn with an edge, and that you go into October and the Astros series sharp and not flat. And so this is the problem with the White Sox. They're not doing the little things. You can see a team, they're not pitching and they're not hitting and all these things, but it's all collectively, they are flat. They look flat.
Yeah, and I understand that that's not the way they're going to look in the postseason, or that's not the way they're supposed to look in the postseason. The problem is I've been watching the entire second. I watch every game they play, and I have seen this lack of an edge, this lack of intense, whatever you want to call it. I have seen the problems with this team as they've unfolded. And unfortunately, it is difficult to believe, based on how they're currently playing, that they're going to make any kind of impact on the postseason. They were once a team to be feared. They were once a team that all of baseball was going to have to deal with. And now they're just like another team that's going to be in the playoffs. And the way they're playing won't work. What they're doing now is not going to work when they get to the playoffs. So we have to be aware of that. And I think they need to be aware of that. It's just not going to work.
I know it's a long list, but where does it start? Are you more concerned about the Rodon issue and what that does to the starting pitching rotation? Are you more concerned with the bullpen and the inconsistency of guys like Bummer and Kimbrel, et cetera, et cetera?
Yes.
Or are you more concerned with the lack of hitting with runners in scoring position and the recent slump of guys like Aloy?
It's all a problem, to quote John Fox. But if I had to prioritize, I think that they've gotten good pitching all year long. I think there's a good chance they get some good pitching in the playoffs. I don't know that the bullpen can hold it down, and that's the problem. The problem is, number one, they're not hitting right now. Maybe they do in the playoffs. But you would think the pitching gets better in the playoffs, et cetera. It really bothers me that they can't shut a team down. This is, Steve Stone told us this was going to be Kansas City, right? This was going to be the Royals when they went to a World Series where the bullpen was going to be so good. Yeah. I believe that. And maybe that is the case, but I have not seen it.
We haven't seen it, and when the numbers support the skepticism, and I think it's because it's all rooted in you don't want to put it all on one guy because collectively the bullpen has been somewhat of a disappointment this year. But Craig Kimbrell has not been the player they traded for.
No.
He has not been the reliever that we saw in a Cub uniform who made the All-Star team. The White Sox give up Nick Madrigal and Cody Hoyer, and you wonder in retrospect how much they're going to regret that trade if Kimbrell doesn't come through like he must in
October.
Well, he's
not going to come through. I mean, they're using him the wrong way. The guy who could be Andrew Miller is
– What's
is
the right way?
Use him as a closer.
In the ninth inning?
Yes.
And you would reverse roles. You would use Liam Hendricks as your Andrew Miller type?
I would, absolutely. Whenever in a playoff game, whenever I got to a high-leverage situation, I would bring in Liam Hendricks, and I would let him pitch. And here's the thing. He can come in the middle of an inning. He can go a couple innings. And then I would try, and I think you ought to do it now for the last 11 games, try using Kimbrell and the way he became an all-star and the way he's going to be a Hall of Famer, which is a ninth-inning guy. He clearly is not capable of coming into a high-leverage situation and getting you out of it, but he is a guy that can close a game. See, I don't know what the difference
is. I agree with that. If you ever get a lead again, White Sox, I think that you would go into the ninth inning and see what you have in Kimbrell if he is salvageable, because that is the only way we've seen him succeed this year, or at least most consistently, with the Cubs. And again, you know, in the ninth inning, when mentally he may want to deny it, he may not want to acknowledge it, but it's real. It's just a different vibe with him for whatever reason. And Liam Hendricks seems a lot more pliable, and there are going to be situations in the playoffs where your biggest, most high-leverage situation is going to be the top of the sixth, or whenever, the seventh inning.
You know who would do this? You know who knows exactly what we're talking about here? Ozzie Guillen.
Hendrick has do that before.
Yeah.
Be a set-up man. Mm-hmm. Be the mapo guy because he was. Okay, just go. We're down by 20. Go ahead and pitch. I think Hendrick, he might do set himself better to be the set-up man role, and to see how that happened, that can help Kimbrell. Because, be honest with you, without either of those two, then Cuppy got to step it up. The White Sox know how the great bullpen that we have.
You're saying they should consider putting Hendricks in the eighth?
Well, that's where the problem. If they can, right now they have enough time to try if that work. You know what I mean? Because.
What do you say? You're laughing.
I'm not laughing. He's making sense.
Yeah.
What I would do after we clinch, I would go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, get that fire going, get the juices flowing again with both of my closers so they're ready for the playoffs.
Because Hendrick, he did it before. Mm-hmm. It makes it going to be more easier for him
to pitch in the eighth.
To make that adjustment. Mm-hmm. Then this guy, that's the problem. You know what I mean? It's nothing wrong with say, can I talk to you for a minute? I'm not too comfortable where I am right now. I made the manager make that decision besides eating, and don't spit out how he feel.
Yeah.
We talking like that because we don't see any good thing about him right now.
Okay. That's from NBC Sports Chicago. That is their postgame show. You heard the voices there of Ozzie Guillen, Chuck Garfine, and I believe Frank Thomas. That was Frank Thomas. And Frank laughed because he agrees with what Ozzie's saying. I think anybody that's watching this would agree with what they're saying. Now, here's the problem. When Frank said that on Monday, he thought they'd be clinched by now, right?
Yeah.
But no, they want to go to Detroit and lose.
Well, they could clinch today. I mean, they could clinch today and then have about 10 days to experiment and to get people comfortable in those roles and address these kind of issues. And look, Ozzie is speaking as a guy, as a manager who won a World Series with three different closers, and with not necessarily taking your closer out of the role, but you have to be willing to try different things if it's not working.
It's you know, here's what you do. You go to Liam Hendricks, and Liam Hendricks just said he'll do anything that the team wants. You just go to him and you tell him, hey, listen, you know, we've looked at this 1,000 different ways. Clearly, he can't do it, and you can. You can be the guy that stops the high-leverage situation. You know, the reality of life is that the closing job isn't as important as the holding job when you get to the playoffs and you're in the big moment. If their lineup is turning over, we got to go to our man, and you are the guy. You just make it sound good.
Don't you think he knows that?
I think he knows.
And I think he would accept that.
I think he would.
And I think he would actually relish the role of being Mr. Everything and Mr. Versatility.
Right.
Because he doesn't have...
Four-inning savior.
Yeah. Well, four innings is a lot.
I meant four-batter savior.
Well, four-batter savior, two innings if you need him. And I think this is a guy that you can look at as having a more... being able to adapt easier than Craig Kimbrel, who has Hall of Fame credentials built on his ability to master the ninth inning, but not the eighth, not the seventh. And when you ask somebody to do something they're not comfortable doing or don't have a track record of doing, you're asking for trouble. And I think this is a good move to make.
You gave up a lot for Craig Kimbrel. That's the fact. You gave up a lot. And you got a $16 million option next year. Are you turning that down? Or are you going to try to find out what he can do best?
Can't answer that now.
You're going to try to find out what he does best and use him in that role.
Yes.
And then maybe you can bring him back.
Absolutely true.
Okay.
Because if he ends up saving big games in October, if he ends up being the lockdown guy in the ninth inning that we saw him as recently as July with the Cubs, then yeah, you're going to want to bring him back. You're going to want to do everything possible to have the best bullpen you can, and he helps you do that.
And we have a texter, it's interesting, says, Kimbrel's a bum. I wouldn't trust him in a pressure situation. I'm sticking with Hendricks. Hendricks got us here.
Hendricks got you here, but how far do you want to go? And in able to go as far as you can, you may have to make some alterations along the way. That's one of them.
All right, here we go. We got the pick six next. It's Mully and Haunt, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
Tony La Russa said Carlos Rodon will start next week against the Reds, and pitching coach Ethan Katz told The Athletic why he thinks it's important not to shut down Rodon until the playoffs. Are the Sox doing the right thing in planning to start Rodon? Why or why not?
Yeah, I got no problem with it. I think that he needs to be they need to know. They need to know if giving him a week off makes him a significantly better pitcher. They need to know if he's going once every 10 days, if that works for him. I mean, I don't think he can start in first or second when you get to a 7-game series, so you get him a couple times. But I think he can definitely do one of those games if his arm holds up. And I think that's what you're battling here. So whatever they believe helps him keep that arm in shape, then go ahead and do it.
I understand what Ethan Katz is saying. You want him to pitch with an edge. You want him to pitch with that intensity to kind of prepare and ramp up for the playoffs if he's able to go. The only thing that you want to be prepared as well is that if he doesn't have it, you're going to have to make a tough decision and be willing to make that decision. If he doesn't have it and he's staring at the dugout because he's concerned about his arm health and he's hitting 89 on the radar gun, are you prepared to leave him off the playoff roster for the first round and then do whatever's necessary, give him that rest, shut him down so he's available for the ALCS if necessary, if you're able to advance? And I think that you have to be looking at this next start as something that is a big one, as big as any, just to get your gauge and prepare for what you're willing to do and how healthy he really is.
Pick six.
With the White Sox clinging to a 2-1 lead in the fourth inning, Yoan Moncada hit a leadoff double but was thrown out going for a triple. Oh. Leury Garcia followed with a single. Was that the worst moment in the game for the White Sox, or are you sticking with the lefty bullpen arms blowing it in the seventh
Wasn't
inning?
Wasn't there an error, too? I mean, come on now. This has got to be cleaned up, tightened up. This White Sox team is sloppy. Sloppy defense, sloppy base running, sloppy in the bullpen. At least the bullpen, when you're blowing leads or you're blowing games, you are trying. You are focusing. You are, you know, somewhat intense. I don't like the base running mistakes. I think that there's too many defensive errors. That's what gives me as much concern as anything with this White Sox team. In the playoffs, those little mistakes become big problems because they're magnified. Every moment is. So as valid as your concerns about the bullpen are and as hitting and running, hitting with runners in scoring position, valid too. Defense and base running, you can't have those kind of mistakes, Moncada. You cannot do that. You can't make the first out or the last out at third base.
I mean, the play is in front of him. You can see it the whole way, as Dustin pointed out in the 5-5. That was beyond frustrating to get thrown out trying to stretch a double into a triple. Why? You were up 2-1 at the time. You'd have first and third with no outs. Okay, come on, man. That's not allowed. You cannot have that happen. Period, end of story, not allowed. Now, they had a lot of things that shouldn't be allowed go on in that game. They stranded a ton of guys, and that might have been the most frustrating moment for me. The seventh inning, the left, you know, bringing Jace Fry back for a second inning was a mistake, and then you go to Bummer, and that was a mistake. It was just depressing to see the way that unfolded, and it gave me great pause about everything going on with the White Sox.
Scoreboard update.
From the Northwestern Football Update Studio, I'm Dustin Rhodes. Here's what's happening. White Sox magic number stalled out at 2 as they fell yesterday in Detroit, 5-2-3. The White Sox were 2-for-10 with runners in scoring position. They'll go for a win, try to get that magic number down to 1 by themselves. Ronaldo Lopez throws first pitch, 12-10. The Astros' magic number to be the number 2 seed is 6. The Cubs hosted the Twins. Alec Mills started, and it was the Twins winning that one 9-5. Same two teams tonight. Kyle Hendricks goes. You can hear the game right here on the Score. And the Bears are getting back to work, putting that game plan in. We'll keep our eye out for that injury report to see where Andy Dalton is. Browns favored by 7 with a total of 46.5. Football returns to Wrigley Field this fall when the Cats host Purdue. Buy the tickets at usports.com.
A pick 6 to end the half.
The White Sox are 85-66 with 11 games remaining. Will they win 90? What is your projected record at this point?
Yeah, they'll win 90. I think they'll go 5-6. I think they'll be 90-71, 72, whatever it is.
I thought you were going to have them going 1-10.
No, I think they're a 500 team. Yeah. So there's 11 games, they'll win 5 of them.
I'll say 6-5. I think they will finish right around there and with 91 victories, which I think is a lot fewer than I thought. I think I said 95 at the beginning of the season. So they may be underachieving based on those kind of expectations. And
I might have said 89. I might have been right on this number.
We need to go back. We should check that out. But I think they'll go 6-5, finish 91-71.
Pick 6.
on a house call for Roquan Smith.
According to our own Mark Grody, wide receiver Allen Robinson didn't seem like himself during his media session Tuesday. It was a year ago this week that Robinson asked for a trade. Should we worry? Do you think Robinson's frustrated by his role in the offense or his drop on Justin Fields' would-be touchdown throw Sunday?
Well, he didn't want to talk about the drop, but I understand why. It was something that you need to do. It's a catch you need to make if you are paid what he is paid handsomely, top five stuff in the NFL. So this is a ball you need to catch. Didn't seem very animated, didn't seem like himself. I understand why there's some frustration there. You did win a game, Allen Robinson, so I guess that's good, but your role in this offense hasn't been as big as maybe you'd like it to be. I can get that. The Bears aren't threatening anybody down the field, and the one time they did take a shot, you know, the ball went through his arms. So after two games, yeah, I can understand why he'd be a little bit down in the mouth, maybe a little bit frustrated, but I don't think we need to worry about a trade. I would hope that we're not going to hear that kind of narrative or that kind of talk this year.
I don't think you can trade him. I think that's why they brought him back. They were looking at Kenny Galladay, and then they decided to just franchise tag him, and he decided to sign it the minute they talked to Kenny Galladay. So that makes sense. You know, Allen Robinson probably doesn't have the payday at the end of the rainbow that he's hoping for. Allen Robinson's a really good player, needs to be used differently. But does Matt Nagy want Allen Robinson? Is that the kind of player he wants? I think that because they had to get rid of Anthony Miller, because they didn't have anyone coming in, they brought him back because they didn't want to be caught with nothing. But ultimately, they want a speedster. They want a different type of player. They don't appreciate or use the skill set that Allen Robinson brings to the table. And him dropping a pass, that's about as unusual as anything out there. He does not do that. In fact, he's got as sure a set of hands as you find in the National Football League. And I think if you look at the numbers downfield, he's done very well.
The pick six for Roquan Smith.
Why are the Bears' five strong tight ends so underused in the Matt Nagy offense? Who has been a bigger disappointment? Jimmy Graham with his 36 snaps in two games and two targets and one catch for 11 yards, or Cole Kmet, who has six catches for 42 yards on eight targets over 98 snaps.
Wow. I mean, that's a real hard one to choose. You know, did you just waste money under the cap, or did you waste a draft pick is the question. I got to tell you, I'm surprised they're not using the tight end better. Dustin sent out a video of Jimmy Graham. I don't know what you'd call it. It wasn't a block. Who's the guy in Jacksonville?
Tebow?
Yeah, it was.
It was a Tebow-esque.
It was a Tebow highlight tape block, yeah, where he just absolutely missed. And Jimmy Graham, I don't get it. I don't understand why he's on the roster, what they're doing with him, why they're not using him. Cole Kmet, I expect better from. He will get better. He will be a good player. I think there's a lot going for him. I'm going to say Jimmy Graham the bigger disappointment.
Yeah, I expect a lot out of Cole Kmet, though. I think this was supposed to be the year he was going to take that big step, and he still can. I think part of that is maybe, you know, we blame the player, we point the finger there, but you know, a lot of this is coaching and scheme and targeting and what plays are called. And boy, you know, and the other part of it is the way the coaches talk about these guys. And so if Matt Nagy says in preseason that Cole Kmet's going to be a bigger part of this offense, a focal point, you expect him to back it up and have more involvement in the first two games. Jimmy Graham, I know it's easy to get triggered by Jimmy Graham because of his salary, because they kept him and they didn't keep Kyle Fuller. But I just look at him as almost like a relief pitcher, like a guy in your bullpen, that he is a specialist. He's going to be somebody in the red zone that you isolate for a mismatch and you take advantage of a situation. He's not there to block. Because when he does, we get these funny videos that we can laugh at because he's not able to do that anymore. So I guess I'm a little bit more disappointed in Cole Kmet's production through the first two games.
Pick six!
Veteran left tackle Jason Peters compared Justin Fields to Michael Vick in a detailed explanation of the difference between Fields and Andy Dalton. Do you see what Peters was trying to say? Is that a fair or unfair comparison, accurate or inaccurate?
Well, I think it's kind of fair. I mean, look, it's Jason Peters. I respect his longevity. I'd love to hear him talk about the nuances of blocking in the pocket and the way it changes for a guy like Dalton, who is more stationary, and a guy like Justin Fields, who isn't, and then get outside the pocket. In that way, the explosiveness is comparable with Michael Vick. I thought that maybe Jason Peters was going to go in, and I didn't hear this. Correct me if I'm wrong, but Donovan McNabb, he blocked for McNabb for one season in Philly too. That's who I think of a lot of times when I see Justin Fields, because of his ability to maybe be an accurate passer and explosive with his feet. Donovan McNabb was a terrific player. And boy, if the Bears get Donovan McNabb, that's great. But I see the Michael Vick comparison only because of the way he makes people miss, how dangerous he can be with his feet outside the pocket, and I think that's what he was getting at more than anything.
I had the exact same thought. I've brought up Donovan McNabb before because Donovan McNabb had a thickness to him,
yeah.
had like a strength to him that I see in Justin Fields. When I think of Michael Vick, he had unbelievable speed, but he was like a thinner version of Justin Fields, and he was incredibly elusive, don't get me
Lamar
wrong.
Lamar Jackson.
And yeah, more like Lamar Jackson than, yeah, that's a very good, mm-hmm. I like those comparisons, and I would have asked him about Donovan McNabb, frankly, had I been there, because I really like hearing from guys that have blocked for different types of quarterbacks. You know, when you think of Jason Peters and you think of him in Philadelphia, the incredible story with the way things worked out and the way they ended up getting Michael Vick and he became a centerpiece of what they're doing, I don't understand why you can't adapt some of that stuff to what you have right now with this player. So maybe that was the thought process. And maybe that's something that should be considered when Matt Nagy puts together his game plan. All right, there we go. That is the pick six. 312-644-6767. We're going to get to your phone calls. Pick a topic. We've been talking about the Sox. We've been talking about different ways to use different players. And we always talk Bears. We've got a lot going on with the Bears. We also had a really funny occurrence at Wrigley Field last night. Maybe we should take a listen to that. It was, for some of us, it was like a fall down funny moment. I don't know if other people are annoyed by it, but I loved it. Let's get back to the phone line. 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
I'm here with Mateo, here with Kieran. We're going to sing the song. Let's go. 1, 2, 3. Take me out to the ball game. Take me out with the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack. I don't care if I never get back. So let's root the Cubs. If they don't win, it's a shame. For it's 1, 2, 3 strikes here out at the old ball game. Let's go, Chicago!
Wow, that's Conor McGregor.
So
he was singing the seventh inning. I don't know that he knew the song.
I think that was probably the first time he had heard the song when he sang it. That sounded like that.
Oh, that was awful.
Yeah.
Why are you wasting good music on that guy? Is he really Irish? What is he? He's a very scary individual.
He's very scary. Yeah. That's what I know. Yeah.
What's he doing in Chicago?
I don't know. I'm not quite sure.
Just kind of having fun, drinking whiskey, whatever.
It's whiskey related. He has a whiskey. He owns a company, whatever.
Yeah.
That's what he's promoting.
I thought he was maybe visiting his cousin, Taylor McGregor.
Oh, don't think they're related.
He also,
I wouldn't put that on her.
He's also promoting some kind of spray that can help with injuries and
spray?
Yeah. A spray.
I thought it was a spray whiskey you were saying.
Andy Dalton could use that.
Yeah. Was he at Hallis Hall before he went to Wrigley?
In between shots of Toradol.
Yeah.
Wow. So whiskey
that was bad, though.
Comes it's from a Gaelic word, which is like iscabaha, and it's whiskey in English. It means the water of life.
Hmm.
Ian? Oh, Ray, you a whiskey drinker?
Oh, yeah.
Look at you.
I like it.
Are you a whiskey drinker?
Not Douglas? Really.
Yeah.
Not a big whiskey guy.
Dustin?
More...
No.
No?
I try to be a big boy every once in a while, and then I always go back to my Bud Lights or Mick Ultras. Or...
I think if my power rankings of liquor would be probably vodka, gin, tequila, whiskey.
When do you drink tequila?
You want me to break into Dan and Shay?
Speaking of tequila, I had a little of that Jordan tequila over the weekend.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Ooh. Good, smooth.
Yeah.
That's very expensive, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm not a sipper. You know, I'm just.
Oh, you're
that doesn't surprise me in the least.
Yeah, why would you take a shot of that?
Well, and you're not. You don't shoot that stuff.
So what did you do with it?
I sipped it, and then I had a sip of Bud Light. Actually, I had a sip of Mick Ultra. Then I sipped it, and then I had another sip of Mick Ultra.
Can I share my shameless plug? New sponsor, Zing Zang.
Oh God,
station.
Zing Zang's fantastic.
And I sampled the new margarita mix last night.
On the way home?
Not on the way home. No.
I threatened to drink my four-pack of margaritas in the car.
Dustin, I'm not Dustin, okay? I don't need to drink at 9:30 every morning or feel the need.
Just Fridays. That's
okay,
me.
Just Fridays
for me.
Okay. But look, got home. Oh, man. And my wife had it perfectly. We had chicken tacos, perfect combination with a little Zing Zang margarita, and it hit the spot.
I
was a big fan.
I got a four-pack of the Bloodies, and now this is my dilemma. Like, when would I actually crack one? You know what I mean? Like, I can't really have
one.
Not Sunday morning.
Not unless Olin sets you over the edge.
I mean, wouldn't that be funny if I was sitting? Plus, you know, I want to buy, like, a little lettuce and olive, and I just want to create the garden.
The giant drink. Those
what
look
you
so
need to
good.
Do then is, like, cut the top of the can all the way off, and then you could put your celery stick, your shrimp.
And drink it out of the can?
And your smoked sausage.
Oh,
well,
I think you – don't you pour it into a glass?
You could. Look you nicer. Pour it over ice. Right. So they've got –
smoked sausage.
You just talked about – Molly, you just talked about the canned Bloody Mary. David talked about the margarita. I threatened to drink my four-pack on the way home. I didn't do that. I don't drink and drive. I'm all about Uber.
Yeah.
But tie it all up. What I was actually hoping for yesterday, because I wanted to try it, and we didn't have it yesterday, but they also have a whiskey sour, which I think of as like a wedding.
David,
that's the drink you drink.
That's what I was hoping was going to be out there, because I have seen at the Jewels the whiskey sour Zing Zang, and I've been tempted to buy it, but I'm worried that I'm not a big enough boy
to handle it. You'll like it, Dustin, because when Molly and I fire up the DrinkWorks machine.
That's right.
The old DrinkWorks.
The old DrinkWorks machine. Let me tell you, the Whiskey Sour delivers.
Yeah.
It is one of my favorites.
That's my
go-to. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're good
for tailgating because they're all in that can. Because it is, I was a Bears season ticket holder for the 2 years that I produced Man Cow, and we would literally bring like a tub. Like those tubs you would pack things with Christmas decorations, a tub of things just for the Bloody Marys. You got the vodka, you got the gin, you got the spicy mix.
Well, this
you
is
got
all
the
in
more
the same
mild mix.
Can.
You got
yeah.
the this, you got the that. And Zing Zang just puts it all in one can.
I know.
You shake it up and boom.
I can't wait to try it. Honestly, I can't wait to try it. I just don't know. I just maybe
Saturday.
See, here's the problem though. Like I'm not a morning drinker. I'm not really an afternoon drinker either. I don't drink that much, sadly. My life has changed from when I was a younger man. I'm like you. I'm kind of a clear liquor drinker at this
point. Okay. Okay. I just have to laugh, though. I'm not doubting you. I'm not a big drinker, but you just pocketed your second four-pack today.
There was another one left there, and I grabbed it. What am I, an idiot?
You got eight.
I came in, I couldn't believe it.
He'll have him on New Year's.
I'm not a big drinker, though, Dustin.
2022, we'll be talking about.
You know what?
New Year's Day, I considered drinking that Zing Zang I took back in September, but I just couldn't bring myself to it.
No, I think my wife and I need to, like, I think we get up. Here's my plan.
Okay.
I'm considering, I don't know if I'll do this Friday or not, but this is my dream. I will go to the Irish Butcher, and I will get, like, enough for, like, a big fry-up. And then Saturday morning, I'll make like a huge breakfast. I'll play some of the music Ray was just playing, like the Irish Hour when I was a kid. But I'll pop a bloody with a little blood sausage and some Irish sausages. What do you think?
I think that sounds like a good plan. I would not
bangers and rashers
the sausage necessarily. That's a
you don't like
too
that?
Much for me. Nah,
too much.
It's okay.
But with a little Zing Zang.
Little Zing Zang.
Now here's the only worry.
I definitely recommend it.
What happens the rest of the day?
Well, you take
you
a
just
nap.
Just keep going. No, no, you just you pace yourself. See, I am a day drinker. You just
that's a
the
collapse.
Problem is,
that's
is
a,
when
that's
you stop. No, no,
collapse.
But you have to keep going. The worst is when you stop at like 4:30.
Okay,
that's when you get that rage or headache. Like yeah. You can't stop at 4:30. Like if you start at lunchtime, you just got to go into the evening and then go to bed at about 8 o'clock.
Well, but that and how is that different than many normal nights? You know.
Yeah, exactly. That sounds like a guy going home from work and you know. Getting it out of the way before it collapses.
I think that
comes
Saturday is the ideal opportunity. You've got Notre Dame, Wisconsin. That's an early kickoff, right?
Yeah, 11 a.m. That's here,
Soldier Field.
I could take my 4-pack down there.
You could,
right?
We take
it's
all
about
eight.
A 4-pack. It's about a 4-pack walk from the south lot to get into the building. So,
yeah,
can you do that? Are you allowed to just hold your 4-pack and?
Used to be. I don't know. My dad and I. That was the last beer we would have on the way in. It's a 2-beer walk. From the parking lot to the stadium.
I also, you can answer this question. So I got the Zing Zang, and I was just reading the can, again, just out of excitement rather than trying it. And I saw that it's 9% alcohol by volume.
9%.
That's a nice little horse kick.
Yeah, it's relaxing. I would say
so. You felt it. You had your chicken taco and your margarita,
you know,
and you were relaxed.
Coma from the taco like and it. The margarita.
Listen,
okay.
Nothing wrong with the Tuesday night. Just relaxing.
You went
with the chicken taco. I'd already done my workout. I wore my Zing Zang T-shirt. I sweat right through it, and then went home and had a relaxing dinner.
And I again, no more like gratuitous plugs. Those T-shirts look awfully comfortable.
They
just
are.
The material of it, the whole.
Oh, it's soft. It's cottony. Very nice.
312-644-6767.
Yeah, cottony's a word.
We've got to get to the phone lines. David, I don't have to tell you, but the Score listener line is powered by BetQL. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com.
The BetQL network's available nationwide on the Odyssey mobile app and website. Over 10,000 home and auto-connected devices in BetQLnetwork.com.
Let's squeeze in Lou. Lou, good morning. How are you?
Morning, doing well. How are you guys?
Good. Plotting good. Our.
So I'm just going to the White Sox. Going to Carlos Rodon. I'm very nervous, just in general, dealing with the Astros in the playoffs. With Carlos Rodon, you got the one start in a week. What are you guys thinking? You got three starters who you could trust, I guess, in the playoffs. Where do you see any of the starters right now, like a Keuchel or even a Ronaldo or Giolito, depending on his health? What role do you guys see them maybe in the bullpen in the playoffs?
Good question. Thanks, I think Mully put it out, laid it out really well. You go with Lynn, Giolito, Cease, and then you have Rodon, if available, as your opener. Don't expect too much, maybe 3 to 4 innings, but that's how you go into game four.
Yeah, that would make sense to me.
That
might work for you, but I Dallas Keuchel's not on my playoff roster. He'll be on theirs. He's owed a lot of money, and he'd be on mine. Yeah,
I'll come around on that.
Well,
only because of the health.
I was going to say why? What?
Because
health?
Of Rodon.
Okay.
Because of Rodon's situation, I think you need another lefty that you could possibly count on to get out tough left-handers if you need him. And if Rodon only gives you 2 innings, you need somebody to kind of eat those innings until you get to Game 5.
312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the Score.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.